church say amen.
Amen.
It was God's grace and God's mercy that brought us all through. We give honor to God and especially to the angel of this house, Dr. Armstrong, and to the members and friends of this great church. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I count it as an honor adjacent to a privilege to be able to come and share with you on this Lord's Day. Pastor called me the other day and told me that the church was having Super Senior Day and was inviting me to come. And I don't know how to write a super senior sermon. I didn't tell him that because I wanted to come anyway. We give thanks and certainly we honor and congratulate all of our seniors, grandparents. Some grandparents have moved on to be great-grands. But we thank God for grandparents because some of you today would not be where you are, who you are, if it had not been for grandma's hands. I want to be especially brief today. And there is a word nestled in the 10th verse of the second chapter of Ephesians. And that word says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I just want to use that 10th verse. May the Lord's word be blessed. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. From that passage of scripture, just for the next little while, I want to preach from the subject, I want to be me. I want to be me. Or as we said in the street, I want to be me. God wants to redeem you and not replace you. God wants to restore you and not remove you. God wants to grow you into the best possible version of you. You are not an accident of biology or a coincidence of nature. You are a reflection of divine intentionality. You are utterly unique. You are one of a kind. You are a masterpiece. Touch your neighbor and say, did you hear what he said? You have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and God alone knows your potential. And that is why, church, every day, by the grace of God, through the mercy of God, and through the goodness of God, God is guiding you. Even though you are not aware, God is guiding you. You may not know it, but God is guiding you towards the best version of you that you can become. God is guiding you. God is developing you. He's not trying to destroy you, but he's trying to develop you. And whatever you may go through in life, it's because God is trying to mold you. God is trying to make you the best you that you can become. You see, you are not your own creation. Your life is not your own personal project. Because some of us like to stick out our chest and say, I'm self-made. And I'd like to know what part of yourself you made. But anyway, you're not your own project. Your life is God's project. God redeemed you. God thought you up. And God knows where you've been, where you are, where you headed, and who and what you are intended to be. Only God knows that. Now, Paul, writing to the Christians in Ephesus, said in our text, you are God's masterpiece. He has created you anew in Christ Jesus so that you can do the good things that he has planned for you long ago. There were plans, my Christian friends, for you before you ever arrived on earth. God has a blueprint. God has an assignment. God has a design for every single one of us in this house today. And that is why the prophet Jeremiah declared, speaking for God in chapter 29, verse 11, I know the plan that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future hope. The plan has already been made. The design has already been established. The good work has already been prepared. God is not making this up as you go along, but your life, your future, your destiny has already been designed and settled by God. You are in this world for a reason. You are here to do something beneficial. You are here to do something useful. You are here to do something critical. You are here to do something vital, remarkable, and significant. God has already determined it. God made you to be you. As God transforms you, you will change, but you will always be you. You see, corn can grow into an oak tree, but it cannot become a rose bush. You will always be you. A healthy you or a withering, suffering you. But you will always be you because God did not create you to be anybody else. God will never discard your raw material, but God will redirect your life. Before Paul met Jesus, he was a brilliant, passionate zealot who persecuted people. After Paul met Jesus, he was a brilliant, passionate zealot who promoted people to God. God will determine your gifts. And God will determine your talents. God made you to feel certain passions and desires, and you are unique, and your uniqueness is God's design. God is not trying to make you somebody else. God is trying to make you into you. Now, if you're ever going to live completely, church, and authentically, you've got to make up your mind that you're going to be you. You perhaps have wondered sometimes why you do the things that you do. You perhaps, in talking to yourself sometimes, wonder why you do the things the way you do them. It's because God has made you unique. And God has made you extraordinary. Because you see, God's goal is not to exchange you, but to emancipate you. God is not in a hurry. He doesn't get discouraged about how long it takes. God is more concerned about you reaching your full potential. God is more concerned about your potential than you are. You see, life is not about any particular experience or achievement. The most important task in your life is not what you do, but who you become. Because there is a me you want to be. Now, in order for us to become the me we want to be, we have to come to grips with the counterfeit me that elbows in and takes its place in our lives. First, you got to do battle with the me that I pretend to be. Now, that is... this is who I want everybody to think I am. And it's what I call image management. Where we carefully craft our public and private persona. Because people are not always who they pretend to be. You see, sometimes you think you're talking to somebody and you're actually talking to the me that they pretend to be. Let me see if I can help you. There was this car accident that involved two young adults, one male, one female. And when it first happened, they were both angry and they were accusing each other of being at fault. But finally, calmer heads prevailed. And they decided to call the police and let the police settle the matter. And as they waited for the police to arrive, they began to converse and discovered that both of them were single and they had a lot in common. The chemistry began to flow. And finally, the young lady said, maybe it was God's will that we had this accident and met one another. Now, the young man who was secretly attractive to the sister said, I think you're right. And then the sister said, well, I think it's kind of silly for us to stand out here in the cold. Let's get inside my car where we can be warm and wait for the police to come. And the young man, thinking that things were really going in his direction, he agreed. And they sat in the car talking, and the sister says, "Oh, you know what? I was just coming from the store, and I got a bottle of wine and some paper cups. Why don't we toast to the fact that we have met each other?" And the young man really got wired in. And so they popped the cork, poured the wine, and made a toast. And the young man gulped his wine down, and then he noticed that the sister didn't drink her. And the young man said, "Aren't you going to drink yours?" And the sister said, "No, I'm just going to wait for the police to come." Church, sometimes you think you're talking to somebody and you're really talking to the me that they pretend to be. Sometimes some people are just pretending. But the problem with pretending is it's not living, it's just existing. And it's exhausting. It's hard to live a lie because you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool yourself or God anytime. And so the me that I intend to be is a counterfeit me. Secondly, we have to do battle with the me I think I should be. All right. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are happy with yourself the way you are? Now, here's the truth. Because we judge ourselves and each other by comparison, and what we use as a yardstick to make our comparison depends on what we value. In the Bible, Galatians 6:4, the text says, "Every one of you should examine his own conduct, then he will be able to take the measure of his own worth and have no need to compare himself with others." The me I think I ought to be is always somebody else. I want to say what they say. I want to talk like they talk. I want to drive what they drive. I want to dress like they dress. I want to live where they live. I want to do what they do. But that's the counterfeit me, because no matter how hard we try, we can never be anybody else. We can only be who we are. Be careful about trying to follow other people and be like them and do what they do, because everywhere you go, you carry yourself. That was some deep philosophy right there. You see, God is like a potter with a lump of clay. God makes some of the clay into fine china and some of it into everyday dishes. Now, the china is not better than the dishes, because the china only gets used every now and then. But the everyday dishes get used all the time. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't want to be fine china. I just want to be a coffee cup so God can use me every day. You see, when the day comes when you have to stand before the presence of God, God is not going to ask you, why weren't you more like Fox? He's going to ask you, rather, why were you not more like you? Why were you not more like I made you to be? I want you to be like I fashioned you to be, like I created you to be, like I ordained you to be, like I empowered you to be. God is looking for you to be you.
My.
Thirdly, you have to deal and battle with the me that other people want me to be. You do know that everybody got plans for your life. Everybody want to change you, tweak you, transform you, and fix you. People often have expectations of you that are not you at all. One writer has said, I don't know the key to happiness, but I do know that the key to misery is trying to make everybody else happy. Reminds me of the story about an old man, a mule, and a young boy. They were on their way to town, and the boy rode on the mule, and the old man walked, and as they passed a group of people, they began to remark, what a shame it is for that old man to be walking while the young boy is riding on the mule. So the young boy got off. The old man got on. And then they soon passed another group of people who remarked, what a shame it was for that old man to be riding on the mule while the little boy got to walk. So they both got off. And the old man gets off. And then they passed another group of people as they walked beside the mule, the old man on one side and the young boy on the other side. They passed another group of people who thought, how stupid this must be. For them to be walking to town when they got a perfectly good mule to ride on. So then they both got on the mule. They passed another group of people who thought that it was a shame to put all of that weight on that poor old mule. So they both got off the mule and start carrying the mule. Crossing the bridge, they lost their grip on the mule. The mule fell in the river and drowned. Now, the moral of the story is this. If you try to please everybody, you might as well kiss your mule goodbye. Y'all let me come back. And the point that I would like to make, church, is that you can't please everybody. no matter what you do, somebody is not going to like it. No matter what you do, somebody's going to talk about it. No matter what you do, somebody's going to criticize it. No matter what you do, somebody's going to disagree with it. You'll never have any peace trying to satisfy and please everybody. You've got to be you. You've got to be the me that God made you to be. Now come see that there is a me that fails to be. Now if you're honest with yourself, church, you must admit that there were times when you failed to be the person that you wanted to be. That there were times that you failed to do what God had asked you to do. You made promises to others. You made promises to God, and you promised yourself about what you were going to do and where you were going to go and what you were going to have and what you were going to achieve, and you fail every time. But what you must learn is never let your failure be final. Because God can take the broken pieces of your life and put them back together again and make you an instrument of His service and His glory. You must be the you that God made you to be. And you must never let God down by failing to do what God wants you to do. If you promise God, be faithful to that promise. If you told God, I'll walk with you, then walk with God. If you told God, I'll serve you, then you've got to learn how to serve God. Be the you that God wants you to be. Many of our churches would be stronger if we had more people who would just keep their commitment. We start off like a ball of fire. We're going to turn the world upside down. We're going to do everything overnight sometimes. But if you promise God, you got to be faithful to that promise and keep your commitment to Him, because He's expecting you to be the best you that He's trying to get you to be. Story reminds me of this mother. Who went in to wake up her son for church. She went in and she called him. She said, wake up, son. It's time to get ready to go to church. And after a while, she didn't hear any movement. She went back and she said, boy, you better get up, get ready, go to church. You're going to be late. She didn't hear any movement. She went back again and said, boy, you better get up and get yourself ready. You're going to be late for church. And he said, mama, I ain't going to church. She said, what's the matter? He said, them people up there don't like me, and I don't like them. And she said, well, that shouldn't matter because you promised God. She said, let me give you a reason why you ought to get up and get yourself ready and go to church. She said, number one, you promised God. Number two, you're the pastor. Come see that there's a me inside of me that is meant to be. There's a person inside me. There's a person inside of you just waiting to live. Not just waiting to live, but to become fully alive. One writer has said that the glory of God is a person who is fully alive. To be alive, you have to make up your mind that you're going to be you, because that's God's call on your life. That's God's claim on your life. That's the determination of your life, to be what God made you to be, to do what God tells you to do, to go where God is trying to send you and tells you to go, and to achieve what God is trying to help you to achieve. That's a decision that you've got to make, that you're going to walk with God every day, and that you're going to walk with God on a daily basis. To serve God and to worship God on a daily basis, to be fully alive. Jesus put it like this: I have come that you might have life. I have come that you might have real life. I have come that you might have authentic life. I have come that you might have complete life. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is not a life defined by circumstances, but Jesus was talking about a life that defies circumstances. Because you see, God wants you to flourish. And so the question is, how do I become the me that I ought to be? Now, here's the answer. You got to get in the flow of God's Spirit. If you want to be the me that God wants you to be, you got to get in the flow of God's Spirit. Now, let me see if I can help you again right here. I was watching not too long ago on the Discovery Channel. And they had a special on about salmon and how they reproduce. You do know salmon swim. Oh, y'all saw that too. You do know salmon swim upstream in order to reproduce. They refuse to go with the flow because they realize that their destiny is upstream and that there's nothing for them downstream. And so they go with the flow, against the flow. And so they got to find, when you go with the flow, it means that they got to find their way around rocks. They got to deal with predators and navigate perilous places in order to have a future, because their destiny is upstream. Now, if you want to be the me that God wants you to be, you won't find it floating downstream. You've got to have to swim upstream and get in the flow of the Spirit of God. And you need to know today that when you flow upstream, you're going to encounter some difficulties. When you flow upstream, you're going to have some adversities. When you flow upstream, it means that the forces are going to be against you. But if God is for me, who could be against me? You got to get in the flow and go upstream. When you are in the flow of the Spirit, God will show himself mighty in the time of trouble. Do I have a witness here? If you really want to be the me that you ought to be, then you've got to give your life to God and then let God have full control. You see, as long as you are in control, you cannot be what God wants you to be. But you got to give up and give your life to the Lord, all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust you in his presence, daily live. If you want to be the me that God wants you to be, you got to get in the flow. Well, what will God do when you give him your life? He'll open doors that no man can shut. What will he do? He'll answer prayer. What will he do? He'll fight your battles. What will he do? He'll lift your burdens. What will he do? He'll build a hedge all around you. What will he do? He'll dry your tears. What will he do? He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. And he'll tell you who you are. So I just want to be me. Touch your neighbor and say, be you, neighbor. Because everybody else has been taken.
Everyone standing to this.